more you come to camp, over the years, the camp gets even better. Living life in God's world by God's rules. That's the definition that one man gave of the Proverbs. Living life in God's world by God's rules. Our text this morning will come from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. I will say I condensed this sermon down to one point because of time. I didn't want to be rushed, so I try to stick everything into one point this morning. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The point I want to make today is just the very first clause here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We should probably know what fear of God means. Let me tell you, as I've studied, it doesn't appear to mean fear of punishment, fear of hell, but it is a reverence. Fear mingled with respect and esteem. We're in awe of God, awe of His divine nature, which causes us to obey, causes us to want to love Him, and causes us to not want to offend Him. It's been said that the fear aspect and the love aspect, or this reverence, is that of a child to his parents. And I believe that probably is the best human explanation we probably can get. Because a child loves his parents, most of the time anyway, right? A child esteems his parents. A child looks up to his parents. How many boys, when they're young, want to be like their father? Every single boy I've talked to, right? They want to be like their father. But yet they know that their parents have authority. And the same thing's true with God. We love God. We look up to God. But we know God has the authority. And I believe that's the idea of the reverence, the fear that he is talking of here. In fact, many of the Psalms are great on what? Praise to God. Psalm 34 in verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Psalm 72 in verse 17, "May his name endure forever. May his name increase as long as the sun shines. Let men bless themselves by him. Let all nations call him blessed." And over and over again in the Psalms, we have praise to God, giving glory and honor to God. And I believe that is a part of fear of God. When we have a fear of God, we realize that God is so great and we are so small. This morning, I want to consider what is the fear of God. I actually could have several points on this. But the first point comes from our text in Proverbs 1 and verse 7, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." So what is the fear of God? It is the beginning of knowledge. It's the first knowledge we need. The first knowledge that we need is to fear God. All the sermons have been great, excellent. But you know what? As far as I can tell, they won't really matter unless you fear God. That's what this is, the idea. The first part, the first thing people need to learn is to fear God. And so the natural thing that we want to cover is about God. In fact, the knowledge here in Proverbs seems to be living every day for God. How can we live every day for God? If we fear God, it appears that that attitude we have, that idea we have, will cause us to listen intently to God's word. In fact, you think about people that you look up to. Tom Osborne, came to Sutherland High School when I was a senior in high school. He was running for Congress there in Nebraska. And there, all the young people just looked at him. They were really kind of speechless. How much more with God? God, who is he? Who is God? Well, we know from the Bible, Genesis 1:1 tells us that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. God is the creator. And I want to go to some of the Psalms for this. Psalm 148. And verse 1 says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which will not pass away. Psalm 19, verse 1, many of us are familiar with this passage, where it says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Do we hold God as creator? Do we think of our mighty God as creator? In fact, I think of when we come up here and see the beautiful creation. In fact, I love looking at the trees. That may be something. Now, these trees are just kind of one kind of trees. And so when you go out east or other places, and I've only been out east, that you see a little bit of different trees. And then sometimes driving in the mountains, you can see different trees and so forth. But when you look at the trees and all this mountain and the rocky places, in fact, you can go out to the, I haven't done it this year, so I hope I'm right. But you can go out to the pond, and you can look, and you can see the mountain range behind it, right? Am I right in that?
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you think about? You know, at times we think, man, that's awesome, but do we ever think, man, my God created this? Yeah. Wow, I serve an awesome God that's created all these things. Wow. Psalm chapter 8. Or we could say the 8th Psalm. Psalm 8:1, O Lord, O our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established the strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider, verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Have we ever expressed the same feelings that David expressed or that the psalmist expressed? Man, when I look at all that you've done, God, and David, I always picture him sitting at night looking at the stars as he shepherds the flock, whatever, and see the great stars and think, wow, I serve a great God. You ever think, who am I? That God would speak to us and give us his word. Who am I that God would care for us? Do we look at God as our creator? Do we see God in that light? When you look at a young baby, what do you see? A lot of times we see, you know, hey, that's so-and-so's child. But in all reality, God is the one that established these things, isn't he? He's the one that has given life to that child. And he's given life to you and I. Pharaoh, in Exodus 5:2, as Moses went to speak to him, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice?" How sad. He learned, though, who the Lord was, didn't he? He realized, wow, the Lord was no one to mess with. The Lord was powerful. The Lord had enough power to bring 10 plagues upon him. The Lord had enough power to destroy Egypt. He learned this. Wow. I hope none of us will say, "Who is God that I should obey His voice?" Unfortunately, there's times that I feel Christians do this. I mean, who is God? Who cares that I read it in His Word that I should do something? Who cares that it says it right there? Let me tell you, I'll tell you something different. God says something different here. And we know that people do that all the time with baptism. Where they, "Oh, that doesn't mean that, Pastor. That doesn't mean that." God is all powerful. Matthew chapter 19. We could go to many scriptures for this. I like this scripture though, Matthew 19, 26. "And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And then Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, and I'm going to go quick here just because I'm afraid of time. But Luke chapter 1 verse 37 says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Those scriptures are Matthew 19, 26 and Luke 1, 37. Nothing will be impossible with God. And yet, sometimes I hear Christians saying, "Well, I don't know if God can really do this." How many have heard that? "I don't know if God can do this. Can God answer a prayer? I don't know," they say. The faith of people, and you take a look at this scripture, you've got to think, wow, God can do anything. I had a lady one time tell me, "My husband will never come to church. I don't care what you say or do. He'll never come to church. I've been after him for years to come to church. Never come to church," she said. And I told her, I said, you keep on praying. You keep on working on him. And I'm going to go over and I'm going to work on him." Well, he's coming to church. He's rededicated his life to the Lord. Or as Brother Castillo, he's repented and come back to the Lord. Would probably put it. Isn't that right, Dave? Restore them. They've repented. You know, sometimes you get the idea. I'm talking to some Christians that God's too weak to do things. In fact, people place God, they put God down in His power. And what He can do. And I hope that's not you this morning. Putting God down. But part of this all-powerful God, there's something in Matthew chapter 10 that I believe needs to stick with each one of us as Christians. In Matthew 10, He is talking to His 12 disciples, sending them out to Israel. They were to go and preach. He gives them instructions. He tells them that there's going to be persecution. There's going to be people that are opposed to you. In Matthew 10 and verse 27, "What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you whisper in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. Rather, fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Notice it doesn't say fear the punishment, does it? It says fear Him, fear God. And I believe that's what He's talking of here. And if you go to several scriptures, I believe He's talking of the fear of God, the esteem that we should have for God. We're not afraid of the punishment when we're serving God, but we're afraid of God in a sense. We look at God as high and powerful. We realize He has all authority. And He has that authority to cast us into hell. But we fear God. And we need to fear God rather than men. And there's times that I believe Christians start fearing men more than they do God. And I can't remember which preacher. I think it was Harold Ray last night. He said, you know, preachers don't, some preachers are cowards. And I can't get your direct words, but I believe you said that. I took notes and I have them down up here. I was going to get them out if I needed to. But I'll tell you, that's true. I mean, when you start talking and dealing with people, and somebody else may have said it too, but dealing with people, wow, you know, you get a lot of people upset with you, right? You start dealing with people, you can get people upset with you, and boy, it's not fun. You know, though, I've always said to myself, I need to obey God rather than men, just like the apostles said. I've always thought people really want to hear powerful preaching. Because I talk to these people who go to churches and they tell me, yeah, my preacher, he doesn't preach the Bible. My preacher, he doesn't do anything more. When we go calling door to door, fear God rather than men. When we have to, as Dave, basically discipline. When we have to go and talk to a person and help them get out of sin, fear God rather than men. God is always present. Psalm 139. And we're going to include this with all knowledge too. God is always present. Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high, I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. And I believe right here we see the all-presence, all-knowing God. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Paul Julian, as he talked about marriage, and I came in a little late, Paul, because I was teaching class. Had to state that. So. But I came in, and when I heard him talking, he was talking about homes, and one thing he mentioned, and so I didn't get the whole context, but I understood him to be talking about homes, and sometimes people's homes are a mess, and you know what? People are fighting in their homes, and nobody knows it. But he said, and I agree, God does know. God knows what we do in our home. He knows what we do at the workplace. He knows what we do when we're on our own, when nobody else can see us, even our wife or our children. A lot of times you see that people appear to put on a mask, right? They put on a mask and they come to church and they're all happy and friendly. By the way, if you're angry, I don't really try to change your attitude before you come to church. I'm not promoting coming to church angry. But the thing is the way they are at home sometimes is way different than they are in the public. And I'm afraid that is probably too many people in the church. Kids know what happens. In fact, I can't remember if it was Paul or JB or who, but somebody said, you know, kids know. I believe that was Paul. Internet, people get on the internet and know, you know, you can get a lot of stuff on the internet. A lot of garbage. Things that will pervert and pollute your mind, and nobody may know it. You think that's true? Yeah. Probably happens too much. Where's the fear of God? Where's the idea that God is looking down upon me? He can see what I'm doing. He knows my heart. Where's that fear? Where is that idea? My God not only can see me, but I want to please my God. Man, God has so done so much for me. And in fact, when we take the aspect of Jesus Christ, where is that thought? Where is that idea of saying, man, I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt my Lord? I do want to go off a little bit here this morning and just consider one aspect that is on the internet that I don't believe is wrong, but there's some dangers. And that is Facebook. All right? Now, I'm not on Facebook, so I don't know everything that goes on. But I have seen a little bit. And, you know, those things have discouraged me to the point that I will never get on. Because I get a little upset some of the things I see. Now, there's a lot of good Christian men on Facebook. And they can be an encouragement. But be an encouragement. Don't be a discourager. Be an encouragement there if you're going to be on. In fact, one of my good friends, Lance Elmshauser. Now, I do have to put it on record. I did not ask him if I could use his name. But being good friends, I will let him know. He's not up here, otherwise I would have asked him. He was up here last night and I forgot. But he did a youth class on Facebook and some of the things that are unchristian. And you know what? Why he did this? Because he was at work and he was looking on Facebook and he was looking at a person that was supposed to be claiming to be a Christian. That he was looking on their pictures. And his boss came in. His boss does not believe in God. I mean, he works in Boulder, for you guys that know Colorado, okay? And if you don't know Boulder, you go there for maybe, probably 5 minutes, you'll see what I mean, okay? But he was there, and his boss comes in, and he says, is that workplace appropriate, Lance? Now, he told this to all the youth, so he has made this public. And he said, he got to thinking, and he said, you know, that's a good question. And his boss went on to tell him, I'm very disappointed in you, Lance. I didn't think you were hanging around those type of people. A man that doesn't go to church, as far as I know, doesn't believe in God, as far as I know. Here, telling people, telling Lance, hey, you know what, that's not good to look at. So there's dangers. There's some good things. Be a good influence. Be an encouragement there if you're going to be. In fact, I was thinking of this today, of if I would call one person in this room, and I haven't considered everybody, just to let you know. If I'd call one person encouragement in this room, or a person that wants to encourage other people, I kind of think of Paul Julian. Because he seems to always want to be an encouragement, and he seems to always want to do those things that are spiritual. And I've been to his website for church, and he puts a lot of encouraging things on there. What about what we watch? Movies and DVDs and television. We need to be careful with this. We could go on and on. Music and books. But realize that God is watching. God's there. And I have a hard time believing that if someone would go and be on the internet and watch dirty movies and read dirty books, that they fear God. I have a hard time with that. Because I don't believe they do. And you can look at examples. We don't have time to go through these examples today. But you can look at examples of men that did fear God. Nehemiah, Abraham. These men feared God, and because of their fear of God, they chose not to do certain things. They lived a conscientious life. Do we? Another thing that we forget about God at times, I feel, and I see this in our actions, is that God is holy. In 1 John 1:5, it says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." God is light, and there's no darkness in Him at all. Harold read it last night, Proverbs 8, verse 17. Proverbs 8, 17. I'm sorry. Verse 13. Don't know why I put 7. I didn't put 17. Proverbs 8, 13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate." Here we have the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 1, "Therefore, having these promises," what promises? Well, that if they come out of the world or separate from these unbelievers, that God would be their God, He would dwell among them, walk among them. He would be sons and daughters to us. "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit." Notice, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, I probably have a different view on this verse than many. I don't know. Haven't talked to that many, but I've read different commentaries. But one of the questions that came to my mind as I was studying, were these people that Paul was talking about, were they in the church or out of the church? Well, if you think about what was one of the problems in the church? Well, Judaizers had come in and said all sorts of things against Paul. Paul's not an apostle. It appears that some of these people had accepted them. Oh, yeah. And certainly, we could apply this to coming out of the world, having nothing to do with those, but what about those who are pretend Christians? Now, I want to help them. I do. But there's one thing I know. With my little girl, if I see bad influences, I do want to keep her away from those things. And I want to teach her about why those things are wrong. But you know, too many times I wonder if we have some pretend Christians. Pretend Christians. They come to church, they look good, or try to look good, but you know what? They're not there. They're not really Christians deep down. Some of the comments I hear from Christians just baffle me at times. I'm just taken back by them. And wow, how could you think that way or say this? Again, one of the questions I would ask is, why do they? And I've come to the conclusion, my opinion, to a lot of people, God isn't real. A lot of people have never taken the time to look at God, to realize what a mighty God we serve. God is also love. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. I'm sorry. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4. Let's start there. "And among them we too formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desire of the flesh and mind, and were by nature children of God, or wrath, even as the rest. But God," notice, "even though we were sinners, but God being rich in His mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's a lot of love there. Take a person that's a wicked sinner and be willing to forgive them if they go to the gospel and obey. That's a lot of love there. God is love, and I love thinking about one of our songs, The Love of God, and it's not inspired, but man, it's a great, powerful, powerful song. We go to Titus 3, 4, and 5. At times people, and I'm not going to read that, I just give that out as a scripture. At times people just think God as a good bud, right? Guy that would come up, hey, how's it going? Woohoo! Here, let me put you in a headlock. That's the type of attitude that sometimes prevails among people. We're just best buds. We forget his power. We forget his purity. We forget that he is King, Creator. He is Almighty God. I believe we need to treat God rightly. And I ask you today, how are you treating God? God's not a rug that we could step all over. God's not even a quick fix to problems. And God is not just a God. He is Almighty God. Question, do you really fear God? Do you ever try to justify your sin? If you try to justify your sin, do you fear God? Do you really fear God when you try to find a way out of obeying one of the loopholes? This part is my opinion this morning. How can I know if I fear God? Here's some thoughts that I had. And a lot of this is based on something in Scripture. But do you take the Lord's name in vain? Do you take the Lord's name in vain? The Bible teaches that we shouldn't. Do you fear God? How can I know? Do you ever bow in prayer to God? The Bible doesn't command it. But I've worship is the idea of bowing to God, the idea of surrendering. I look at men in the Bible and I want to know how they serve God. These are men that were, I don't know what you'd call them, good enough to get into the Bible. Daniel, what did he do? The Bible says that he bowed his knees before God. Again, I'm not saying that's a commandment, but I am saying that's an example that if I want a closer walk with the Lord, that I believe that's something I can do and realize that I'm not just doing it to do it, but I'm doing it with the idea that I'm bowing before Almighty God. In fact, several times I have kind of pictured God there. And you can't really picture God too much, but God right in front of me and that I'm bowing before him. One of the things with prayer that has come into my mind a couple years ago, John Henderson was teaching a class, and some of his thoughts led me to this thought, that if I'm going to talk to somebody important, like the president, what am I going to do? Am I going to prepare for this? Yeah. Am I going to just rush in there and say, well, this is my request. I don't know. I think I have it here someplace. Would we do that? Probably not. We'd probably be trembling, and we would make sure we have everything in order. Do we do that to God? Do we go to God? And again, not the idea of God's going to hurt me, but the idea of, man, God, you've done so much for me. I love you. I realize how great you are. But I've tried to make it a practice at least once a day to write my request down and to actually go through a thought process of thinking about what I'm praying for. If I'm praying for somebody, I think, what do they need? What do they really need? And I'm going to present that request to God. Do you deliberately disobey God? Do you change God's word? Scriptures is where we get knowledge on how to live for God. As we have already seen in Proverbs, that if the first thing to start with, if the first piece of knowledge to start is the fear of God, then certainly there's something after this. And we can get this from the Scriptures. Again, a person that fears God, I believe they'll take the Scriptures seriously. They will not make excuses as to why they can't do something. They will not make excuses and call people legalists. By the way, does God spell out everything? Does He spell out everything? Yes, sir. You are right. Okay, and what? Let me. He does not always give something direct, does He? He doesn't always say, don't. In fact, here's a couple examples. Where directly do you find, I mean, in our English Bibles, find that pornography is wrong? It's there in principle, right? In one sense. It's there with the word, Greek words. It's there. But you know what? You're not going to find that. But I've heard Christians say, well, and I'm using this as a big stretch here. Most people would say pornography is wrong. I hope Harold Ray did mention that he's knowing some in the Christian churches and non-instrumentals that say X-rated movies are okay. But, you know, I'm saying that there's people that would almost everybody agrees pornography is wrong, but yet other issues they don't want to step on. You know, you could take the same way that you get pornography is wrong, and guess what? They don't want to say that about something else that they're doing. Okay? There's direct commands, there's principles, there's examples. Again, X-rated movies. Doesn't say X-rated movies wrong. It doesn't mean we can go out and do it, because there's things there in the Bible that would teach against it. Here's one that will get a little touchy, but I feel like they almost do this. People almost do this, and I'm exaggerating this a little bit, but what about stealing from Walmart? Does the Bible directly say I can't steal from Walmart? Nope, I must be able to do it. But that's the attitude you see in a lot of people. In fact, I kind of almost think about this, and this isn't an example of this necessarily, but Exodus chapter 20, God had given the commandments, the Ten Commandments, to these people. They knew His law. God had spoke to them directly. In Exodus 20, in verse 20, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. And He's saying, don't be afraid. And as far as I can tell, the smoke, the thunder, all those things. But for God has come in order to test you, and in order to that fear of Him may remain with you, that you may not sin. Notice, the fear of Him may remain with you, or may be before you, so that you may not sin. Well, the reverence needs to be there. What did these people go out and do? Now Moses is going to go up on the mountain, and he's going to be there for a while. And what did the people start doing? They made a golden calf. And they didn't say this, I'm sure, but it seems to me that some people would almost say this today. Well, God, you didn't tell me I couldn't make a golden calf. You just said in Exodus 20, in verse 3, you should have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven or above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. And he goes on, but God, you never said I couldn't make a golden calf. But that's the idea. That's almost what you receive from some Christians. They're like, wow, the Bible never directly says this. But it does say it. And obviously the people were smart enough, and you're smart enough to realize that this is an exaggeration. You're smart enough to realize that, yes, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3 and 4 and 5 would be against making a golden calf. The point being is that sometimes I believe we don't fear God enough to take these things and to say, hey, listen, I'm going to stay away from it. We don't fear God enough when it comes to modesty at times that we want to just go all over. In fact, I've heard people say, well, women say with a low neckline, well, I don't have anything to show. But I want to tell you, you lean over and you can see a whole lot. because their low neckline isn't actually it's sad, because I've seen that too many times in the church. I've seen too many times in the church where I've had to look away. Whoa! You know, when I worked for a heating and air conditioning company, I had to make sure I did that all the time. It just didn't look that way because the guys would, whoa, look at that lady. And of course, I never looked, because if they're talking of a lady, I know what they're talking about. I don't even have to look. Oh, by the way, with some people's ideas of no principles or no examples, we just need to follow a direct command, you actually take away quite a bit of the Bible. And if you say application is a matter of one's own opinion, well then, my opinion is I can go steal from Walmart. My opinion of when he says, let him who steals steal no longer, but rather, and I'm going to paraphrase work, is that was a person making their living off of stealing. That's not me. You see what people can do with the scriptures? Where's the fear of God? I believe when people do that with the scriptures, they don't have a fear of God. I like what JB said. We need to be careful, though, that we teach our children, that we go to the Bible and teach our children the Bible. Because that's true. And I do believe that most people, when I've studied with them, and I go to them and I say, what does the Bible say? You, first of all, you find out if they're honest. And second of all, if they're honest, they will agree. What does the Bible say? What does it mean? The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Let's place God on his throne. Let's desire to be approved before God. Let's make him the one who counts. Let's not offend him. Let's remember that there's times in God's word that no, he doesn't say something directly, but he does say it. And that he, I believe, expects us to use the good brain that he has given to us to say, hey, I want to stay away. In fact, I believe if we love God, we'll want to stay away from anything that offends him. And I'm going to just close with this example with that. My wife, I want to make sure that I don't do anything to offend her. And if I know that there's something that I'm doing that offends her, I'm going to quit, or I'm going to do my best to quit. Why isn't it that way with God? Our song this morning, 633, Prepare to Meet Thy God. And the song says, careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God. I hope we will develop the fear of God in our lives. In fact, we could have several sermons off the fear of God probably, because there's a lot the Bible does talk about. Some of them go together. But this morning, if you realize that you haven't had the fear of God, that you've actually been living in sin, or that you just realize, wow, I need something more, and I need people's help to help me, I urge you to come forward this morning as we stand, as we sing 633, Prepare to Meet Thy God.